This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The significance of that great event, so small and unnoticed in its time, but a miracle of truly cosmic impact. This was the sacrifice which was commanded of our forefather Ibrahim Khalilullah, alayhi salam. He had very little of worldly wealth, but he was the man of family. Had he not been promised before he had a single son that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky? And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this dream, a dream which mystified and terrified him, but because of his prophetic insight, he knew that this dream was a true dream. And so he said to his son, Inni ara fil manami anni adhbahuka, fanzur madha tara. I see in a dream that I am to cut your throat, slaughter you. So what do you think? In the version in the Bible, the son doesn't know what's going to happen. But in the true version, we find that the son, because of his perfect upbringing by his perfect father, he just says, Ya abati f'al ma tu'mar. O my father, do what you are commanded. Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin. You will find me, God willing, to be amongst the patient. A unique father, a unique son. And they submitted. Falamma aslama wa tallahu lil jabin. And when they both submitted, and he put him down in the position that one needs to put an animal down in order to cut its throat, he heard this voice. Qad saddaqta ru'ya. You have believed the dream, you have made the dream come true. Wa fadaynahu bi kabshin azim. And we ransomed him with a great sacrifice. And from that time, from that hour, this has been a practice of Abrahamic monotheism. Each time we kill a chicken in order to eat it, we say that Allahu Akbar, recalling that permission and recalling the sacrifice. This is the outward form. What is the inward form of it? The inward form is that within each of us there is something precious, which is the self, the nafs. And Imam al-Junaid says, اِذْبَحُ النَّفْسَ بِسُيُوفِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ. Slaughter the ego with the swords of effort. Every moment in our life there's temptations, there's lazy things we can do, there's active things we can do, good things for work, bad things for work. Life, conscious life, is a matter of question after question, choice after choice. That's what makes us human. The animals with their instincts don't have choices, but we do. And in every one of those choices, we need to see what is the most honorable outcome. What is the one that is best for my akhirah, best for my colleagues, best for my neighbors, best for my family? Let me make a sacrifice. It's not so easy. This ayah that we recite at the Eid prayer, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. He who purifies himself has succeeded and remembers the name of his Lord and prays. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This root, zakka, is often used also to slaughter an animal. And what is it then that brings about this harvest? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The every day, many times to be repeated in each day, choice. There is the weak choice and the strong choice. The animal choice, the human choice. Sometimes the diabolical choice and the angelic choice. We know that we are between those possibilities. This is the universal human experience. All of human culture and literature is based on this. The two voices, the Najdain, the two paths. But who could imagine a greater sacrifice than that required of our forefather Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam. What would we have done indeed? And we don't even like to go there or to think about it. That's true. Islam, aslama, they both submitted. Well, we are not called upon to do anything as difficult as that. In our religion, which is Hanifiya, Samha, Abrahamic, but also tolerant, you get up at dawn to pray and there are certain things that you do, but it's not on that scale. Alhamdulillah. But nonetheless, this practice of overcoming, this tazkiyah, this tazakki is a constant companion. And when we're aware of the lower tendencies of the nafs and its inclinations to make excuses for what it wants to do, and we can observe it with what is called the virtue of muraqaba, watching it, as one of the sheikhs said, like a cat watches a mouse hole, waiting to see what the ego is going to do next, maybe amused by its antics, maybe horrified by the consequences of following it. That is really the art of religion, watching the ego. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. So, this is also part of maturation. The little child doesn't really have this. Part of what it is to grow into adulthood is self-awareness, consciousness of choices, empathy with other people, thinking about categories such as the good and the bad, the virtuous and the vicious. When نَفْسُكَ الطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ وَإِن تَفْتِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ. The ego is like a child. If you just leave it alone, it will keep growing and never be weaned from the breast. But if you wean it, it will be weaned. So it is for us with the things that we know we shouldn't indulge in. Some of them pretty harmless. Allah is Ghafoor, Rahim. Some of them catastrophic for ourselves and for others and for the world. The catastrophic bumbling of the politician that follows desire after desire and ego after ego and status after status and brings a whole country into disrepute until finally he stumbles out of the door, confused, in a shambles. This is where it can take us, where there are millions and tens of millions of people whose livelihoods depend on the rectitude of that person's judgment. Kullukum ra'. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. The hadith says, each one of you is a shepherd and each one is responsible for each member of his flock. So this growth into manhood, this leaving behind of childish things, is a growth into responsibility and a growth also into empathy. So this nafs is to be overcome. But it's strong. The same poet says, مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جَمَاحٍ مِنْ غَوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يُرَدُّ جِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِاللُّجُمِ. Who is going to help me ride this overwhelmingly powerful stallion, a stallion that can only be restrained by tugging on the reins? That's the ego. It wants to bolt this way, that way, this thing, that thing, this outrage, that outrage. Hard to hold back. We know what is right, usually. We usually intuit what is right because Allah has given us this capacity to intuit through the fitrah, you know, the upward and the downward path. But this stallion, like those horses which we saw galloping around the farm yesterday, who would dare to approach them? And yet we must. We must approach that stallion and put the rope around its neck and by main force, of physical strength and personality, pull it back into its paddock where it belongs and where it can do useful work. It has value. So, this stallion, how powerful it is. But Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam was riding his horse and was in charge from the beginning of his story until the end. He is the man who was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Khalil, his intimate, because the ego was well under control. Even when he was young and he destroyed the idols in his father's workshop, an act of some courage, his father's livelihood, and he put the axe next to the big one. And when there was uproar in the morning, when they saw that the idols had been smashed up, he was bold enough, subtle enough, to say, "Bal fa'alahu kabiruhum hadha," the big one amongst them did it with the axe. And then, of course, they say, of course, it couldn't have done that. And then they've acknowledged to themselves that these statues have no power and no strength. But he has to leave, and he knows that will be the consequence. But he is the person of wandering, the wandering pilgrim who travels alone, then with his family, outwards into mystery. And ultimately, through Allah's mercy and his guidance, to that word in Ghairi Dhi Zara, that valley without cultivation, the extraordinary atmospheric baraka-packed valley floor of Makkah al-Mukarramah, far from any land that his people would have heard of. And he settles Ismail alayhi salam in that place. So the Hajj is a sacrifice, financial sacrifice, taking time off work, getting there, trying to smile at the official as he looks at your passport, trying to deal with the logistics. All of that is a sacrifice, one tiny fraction of what Sayyidina Ibrahim was invited to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of that sacrifice, creates this ransom situation whereby the sweat of the tawaf and the sa'i and the standing and the throwing and the sacrifice at the end, which is, as it were, the moment of release, the solidarity with our Abrahamic forefather, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wiped out all of those bad decisions, the decision for the lower path, the decision for ego, all of those things that each one of us necessarily does. And in the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim. The hadith says that if we take one step towards him, he takes 10 steps towards us. If we walk towards him, he comes towards us running. We know that the religion is based on mercy. This is the religion of mercy. And the final representation of that mercy will be when the chosen one, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, stands at the day of standing, when everybody else is preoccupied with their own inward anguish and fear. And he goes to the throne of his Lord in a scenario which our minds are not big enough to depict. And says, "Ummati, ummati." Everybody else is saying, "Nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself." He is saying, "My ummah, my ummah." And because of his great standing and his maqam mahmood and the liwa al-hamd, the banner of the praise which he holds, it is said, "Ya Muhammad, ishfa' tu shafa', O Muhammad, intercede, intercession will be granted you." Subhanallah. Another release, release after release after release. Mercy after mercy after mercy. These practices which cleanse us. And then at the end of time, when any kind of practice is beyond our capacity or imagining, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prostration of all, and unimaginable praises according to the hadith that have never occurred to any human heart before in history, and that divine mercy and that forgiveness comes. So, بُشْرَى لَنَا مَعْشَرَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِنَّ لَنَا مِنَ الْعِنَايَةِ رُكْنًا غَيْرَ مُنْهَدِمِ. Good news for us, people of Islam, because we have, in terms of someone's care, a rock-solid pillar that can never be overthrown. Another reason why we constantly invoke blessings and peace upon him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this Eid, inshaAllah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الله أكبر 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 ولله الحمد الحمد لله رب العالمين ولي المتقين نكال الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صادق الوعد الأمين أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله تعالى قد أمركم بأمر عظيم جسيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا شفيعنا قائد الغر المحجلين، فقال: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. الله أكبر، 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 لا إله إلا الله ولله الحمد. أسعد الله عيدكم وجمع شملكم وغفر ذنوبكم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.